continue from. So let's go back to our text. What's our text? 2 Corinthians chapter what? Chapter 11, verse 1 to 3. Paul speaking. Remember, we're espoused to Christ at this junction. Nobody sleep. If I see you sleeping, you stand up. So we are what? Engaged to Christ when we got born again. Right? 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 Yeah. And then that journey was to, when we got born again, it was what? To cleanse us and to purify us with the washing of water by the word of God. So the word of God basically is to do that. Right? And the essence of that purification is to bring us to the point whereby, because without that, you know, Jesus said, you are cleansed by the word that I've spoken to you. John 15, verse 3 or so. I think verse 3 or verse 4. That you are cleansed by the word that I've spoken to you. So the word of God is to cleanse us. Right? Cleanse us. And make us better. Because we need that cleansing to be pure. And then bring us to the point whereby we are acceptable to him. Because the essence of that is this. So if we started there and we got it aborted along the way, then we have forfeited the purpose for engagement. You understand this? Do you understand it? So Paul is telling us that there's a possibility of that happening. And he said that will happen as the serpent deceived Eve. There's something that he mentioned yesterday in the morning. You know, he said, as the serpent deceived Eve, how? By his craftiness. That word is very strong. As the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness. So the method of deception is craftiness. Hello? So devil was crafty. Crafty in the sense of entering into serpent and then distorting the word of God. You know, the serpent made Eve to believe. You know, deception is to believe what is not true. That's what deception is. If you have a doubt that you are not deceived, it means that you are confused. But deception is to believe something that is not true. That's deception. So Satan made Eve to believe that same tree that they have been seeing is able to make them wise, pleasant to the eyes, and good for food. The same forbidden fruit. Eh? That's clever. In a wrong way. You know, he was able to let us see that the fruit that is forbidden, that is a curse, is actually something to be desired to make one wise. Hello? So he was able to walk on our mind. And the Bible says, through his craftiness. And that the essence of that is to bring corruption, to defile the man, right? To bring defilement. Because once we are defiled, we can't come here. Because at this point, Jesus will not accept what is what? Impure. Remember, the Bible tells us that husband, love your wife. As Christ loved the church, that he might cleanse her and wash her by the washing of the water, that he might present her to himself a glorious church without what? Spot or wrinkle. Do you know what it means when he says without spot? Have you worn white before? You wear white clothes. If there is a little spot of stain on that clothes, that's what we mean. So it means that the standard must not be lowered. He's not going to accept something that is less. Because the head that we are expecting is pure. So, but what the devil does is to corrupt that. And we are saying one of the ways he does that is to what? False doctrine. Number two way he does that is to wrong association. And that's very powerful. Wrong association. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 says, it says that evil communication corrupts good manners. Evil communication. He that walk with the wise shall be wise, but a what? a companion of fools shall be what? Destroyed. So, it means that if you want to be wise, then I want to see your complaint. Your complaint determines if you'll be wise. Are we together? So, listen to this. So, if my complaint determines my direction. So, if my direction is wisdom, then I need to check my complaint. Hello? Hello? Yeah. So, in the same vein, if my destination is purity, then my complaint also will be going to that line. So I can say I desire purity as my destination, and then I'm camping around people who don't talk purity, whose purity is not the emphasis, who are not living like that. That's the Bible say, if your destination, he said, those who long for him to come, the one who is pure, what should happen to us? Must be pure. Are you understanding this? So it's a simple principle. If you want to learn how to pray, then you must hang around people who pray. I'm not talking about all those, don't let me cause trouble. Huh? Hang around. You know, prayer is communication. Prayer is communion. Prayer is something you commune. Hello? It's not for show. As a matter, you know, a lot of things is wrong, honestly. A lot of things. You know, these days we pray and then video ourselves. You are doing selfie. You are praying and you are doing selfie. I don't understand. You know, this generation, me, I don't understand. How on earth will you be praying and you are videoing yourself? Jesus said, if you want to pray, go into your closet, shut the door. But we now, but let me leave that. So wrong association. Wrong association. And then number three. And this is where I want to dwell on. And this has been a burden in my heart. Because I see that this is, and that's what the message that is talking about. You know, before that Sunday, I was with the family. We're just chatting. And at the point we're dealing with the issue of, and that's the third thing we have to be watch, we have to be aware of, we have to be look forward to, we have to watch out for and guide against. And that's the word offense. The word offense. The word offense. You know, we're just talking about that. And when I was done, I had this strong impression that God would want me to preach that the next day. And that was the message that he's talking about. Because, and even after that, I realized that this is something weighty. One of the deadly weapons in the last days that the enemy is using is offense. So subtle, but deadly. So what? Subtle, but deadly. There are a lot of people that are offended, but they cover it up. Jesus said that in the last days, many shall be offended. Matthew 24, verse 10. So it's the spirit of the last days, and you have to watch it. And Jesus told us in Luke chapter 17, verse 1, he said, it is impossible for offense not to come. It is what? Impossible for offense not to come. So meaning that as we journey in this race, as we relate with one another, offense will surely come. It will surely come. So what I need to do is to see how do I deal with offense. Because it is so powerful that it can corrupt us. Are we still here? I'm going to read more from my notes so that I don't lose, because I wrote some things down. I don't want to lose them. There are two levels of this offense. Number one level is there are people who are offended at God. Do you know that there are believers who are actually offended at God? Listen, most of the people who became atheists today, they were once a believer. But they chose, but they got to a point in their life that they believe that God does not exist. Why? Because probably they pray for a loved one. They pray, they believe God that this person will not die, and eventually the person died. And they came to a point and said, no, there's no God. I will stay here. And as a result, they got offended at God. Huh? If you check Mark chapter 13, from verse 53 to 55. Okay, let me read Mark chapter. You know, Jesus went to his hometown, and then in verse 55, Matthew 13, verse 55. Okay, let's read from verse 54 so that it can make sense. When he had come to his own country, he told them in their synagogue so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and this mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary and his brother James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And his sister, are they not all with us? Where did this man get all these things? So they were what? They were what? Offended at him. Now, my concern is verse 59. What that offense produced. Because of the offense, the Bible says, now he did not do many mighty works there because of their what? Unbelief. The offense produced unbelief. They were offended that this small boy is not the one controlling, casting out demons. Who be you? Jesus, the boy we used to tap, he said, come on, go and buy suya for us. He's not telling that he's the son of God. Bible said they were offended. Is it not? This boy is Mary's son. And that is unbelief. Matthew 26, verse 31. The disciple of Jesus Christ were offended. Matthew 26, verse 31. Then said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. So when it happened, Master, we left everything to follow you. That's why they couldn't comprehend when he said he's going to die. Die? How can you die? We abandoned everything. We don't have any trade again. We followed you. There was nothing. We have lost touch with our family. You asked us to abandon them. Now we have abandoned everything to follow. You're not saying you are dying. So when they took him, they were offended. You will know it more when you listen to the conversation of the two guys on the way to Emmaus in Luke chapter 24. He said, we were hoping, it's like their hope was dashed. He said, we were hoping that it would be the one to deliver us. But they couldn't understand. Friends, these are disciples of Christ. And honestly, beloved, it will take God at times to reveal to your heart that you have been offended, even without knowing it. Hello? The scripture that pastor read, those disciples were offended. In John chapter 6. And the Bible said they stopped. The Bible said they departed for him. And they did not follow him again. They were offended at his saying. people that will hear messages in church and they'll be offended at what the pastor is saying. There are believers that have left an assembly because of offense. Because of offense. They've even started their own church. That is dangerous. Because you are building a fresh work on a faulty foundation. You are offended by God. I wrote there, here, all their hope was fixed on Jesus. Yet to them, he appeared to have let them down by dying on the cross and embracing such a shameful death. It was as though they were saying, you asked us to leave everything and follow you, but now you are leaving us, saying you are going, which father are you going to? Where do we begin from? Perhaps, that was where Peter said, I go fishing. Let me go back, at least. If I don't know anything, at least I still know the, and I thank God I didn't destroy the boat. So let's go back. Because this is Jesus. I don't understand. I don't get it. And they went back to fishing. And I love Jesus. No, Jesus is not us. Jesus is not us. The day I read this, I was broken. I was sharing with my wife. That was last week when I was meditating on this. How could you, Jesus, the people who abandoned you at the time of your need, they are the same people you committed the church into. I can't comprehend it. The same people that abandoned you when you needed them most, they are the same people you forgave them and still hand over the work to them. Jesus will have been offended. After my investment in your life, where were you when I needed you most? Peter, with all your love, you left me. You denied me 3 times. The things that Jesus was not offended about, most of us have been offended about some of those things. I would destroy vital relationship because of offense. There are productive relations that have been destroyed because of offense. You just cut it off. You care less. Divine relationship that will have pushed your destiny forward, you just push it aside. Because you were offended. When Jesus rose from the dead, go and read it. I don't have time. Peter, when he rose from the dead, he said, go and tell my disciple. And Peter. Why did he do that? Was Peter not his disciple? Why did he single him out? To let him know, I've forgiven you. You are still part of my team. We gave up on people too soon. We do. We gave up too soon. And the same people that abandoned you are the same people. And I want to be like Jesus. You know, when I read this and I say, Femi, you are not there. No, this one, I'm not there because I see some nonsense thing that just get me. What a life. Do you understand what I'm saying? Happiness. Do you understand what I'm saying? The people that abandoned you when you needed them. You know, to some of us, we have cut off relationships because you needed them. They were not there. And if you know, they didn't value me. So that's the end. Let them do their thing. And let me day my day. Offense is a deadly weapon. It's subtle but deadly. When John the Baptist, this is one of the pathetic stories in the Bible that I don't like talking about. when he saw Jesus, Bakolo told us yesterday, he said, behold the Lamb of God that came to take away the sin of the whole world. Twice he used that word. He said, I don't know what my calling is. I don't know what the Messiah is. But the one who sent me said to me that whoever I see the Spirit descending like a dove and rested upon him, that is the Messiah. It was so clear. The vision was clear, sir. And he said, I have seen him. That is him. So what happened in Matthew 11? The same John now sent two of his disciples. Go and ask Jesus. Is he him? Is it the one we are expecting? Or should we expect another one? Huh? Hello? That word. It means at that time, John was in prison, right? He has gotten to the low moment of his life. By the time, Jesus didn't answer. He just said, go and tell John. Huh? The lame walk, the blind see, the gospel is preached to the poor. But he now says something in verse 6. He said, blessed are those who are not offended in me. Huh? Blessed are those who are not offended in me. That reveals something, that at that time, John was offended. Maybe perhaps, I don't know, I'm just guessing. Maybe perhaps he expected Jesus to come and remove him from the prison and he didn't show up. You mean I introduced you to the world and you can't even come and... So Jesus said, blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Friends, please watch us of offense. And what I conclude here is, if John can get to this point, friends, anybody can get to this point. Anybody. So I wrote here, it is okay to feel offended, but never allow offense to take hold of you. Look for the way of escape that God provides and do not allow offense to linger for too long in your heart. Do you realize that many atheists here, don't allow offense to linger for too long. Now the second level of offense is when we get offended with one another. When the person who offended you, I'm not talking about God now offending you. You know, you are not offended at God, but it is your fellow brethren. You know, that's why it's not good to be quick in judging people. You know, when I hear men of God that says that curse people, I say, how can they do that? How can you curse? I never knew I can be tempted to curse. I'm telling the simple truth. Some few years back, when someone hurt me, someone you have invested your life in so much, you pour out yourself. The thing pained me. The thing pained me. And I wanted to just place a curse. I'm telling you the honest truth. I was tempted to place a curse. But I said no. I have to ask the Lord to help me. It was so deep. So painful. I couldn't believe myself that I can come to that point I want to curse people. That's how offense can be. Hello? That's how offense can be. Now, the word offense is good. We know what it means. The word offense, let me bore you with the Greek word. The Greek word is skandalo. And it means a trap. It means a snare. It's a slumping block. Now, this is what it is. Most of the time, when people are offended, when someone offends you, you must understand that the person behind that offense is not that person, it's Satan. And the idea, remember, the idea of that stumbling block is to make you to fall. There is no way that thing will have hurt you if it didn't come from someone you love. The people that offend us the most are the people we love. If there are people that we don't really count as, it doesn't really, but it hits you because, you mean you can do this? Hello? But the mistake we made was that the person who offended becomes the object that we are dealing with, not knowing that there is a Satan behind it who does not want us to end well in that race. Who is causing what? Defilement. So that we don't end up here. Let me tell you something. If you don't deal with offense, you'll be shocked at what you will become if you don't deal with it. Because offense that is unchecked end up, it grows. If you don't stop it, if you don't need it at the board, from offense, you become bitter. From bitterness, if you don't deal with it, what happens? It becomes hatred. At that time, you can kill the person. And you'll be surprised that it is you doing that. Now, this is how you know that you're offended as someone who has hurt you. When you hear something bad happen to them, there is this joy. At least he will know that he offended. Thank God, God showed him pepper. It means that you don't even have feeling any longer that something bad happened to the person that hurt you. Huh? That's how bad it is. That's how bad it is. A majority of us are offended. Let me tell you how you are dealing with offense. The wrong way that people deal with offense. Do you know what they do? They give the person arm's length. They give the person space. I need my space. How many of us do that? Yeah. At least, if I don't relate with this person, he won't hurt me any longer. So you close up. Huh? Yeah. But listen to me carefully. Not only do you close up on the person, you try to close up, protect yourself, you build a hedge around yourself so that what the person did, nobody else will do it to you. So you close up. Huh? Because you don't want to be hurt again. I've been hurt in this manner. I don't want to be hurt again. So you close up. When that thing that I told you happened, myself and my wife, it took us time to bring someone else into our house because we were hurt badly. No, my wife said, no, not again. He said, nobody comes to this house. Only two of us is okay and our children. Because we were hurt badly. It took time. We have to ask the Lord to help our heart. Huh? And the majority of us, that's what we are. You have close up on your wife, close up on your husband, close up. What if Jesus have closed up? What we have today, we won't have it. Investment you have made because of one offense, you close the door. And you are not aware that this is Satan. The relationship you cherish, how did you get here? I was telling somebody, I said, how did you get here? How? Tell me how. How did you degenerate to this point? How? Tell me how. This is not you. This is not how we, you are not grown like this. You are not. I didn't give back to someone that will not degenerate to this point. The person is hearing me, and I'm saying it deliberately. He's hearing me. Degenerate to the point that for 4 months, you can't talk to your wife. How did you get here? How? Why did you allow the enemy to bring you to this point? There's some people you can talk to. Especially when they are your sons and daughters. I don't use such words. I'm careful about some of those words. But there are some people, you see the way I rebuke somebody that was sleeping. Do the first step. Huh? Tell me how. For 4 months. Please go outside if you want to make up. I don't want to hear that hello here. How? Say, who has bewitched you? Have you started in the spirit? You want to end up in the flesh? Because of offense, you close the door. And if you are not careful, and what people don't know is that the devil is the one who is doing it. He's after your soul. That's about it. Why don't accept you are wrong? And just leave matter to die. I tell people, marriage is a call to die. If you're not ready to die, don't marry. Don't marry. It's a call to die. It's a call to die. Hello? Because friends, hello? Are you hearing me? Now you have come alive because I'm talking about marriage. You have not been shouting since. I've been shouting. Yeah, now I'm talking about love. Now you don't come alive. Aww. You like love. You like love. Kana people. But on a more serious note, marriage is a call to die. If you truly want to Christ, you will die. I don't know who I was sharing with. Was it you? Oh, well, okay, I think it was someone. We've been married for 21 years. By August, it'll be 21 that we'll be married. I didn't say so I can clap. You like clapping. One day, sir. This thing one day is about maybe about two years or 3 years ago. That was when I was still doing both. So, I picked my wife. I needed to go and drop her at office. So my daughter Faith was at the back. So we got to this Rumola Bridge. So we climbed. I think you saw an example of that this morning, by that book. When I'm driving and my wife is inside the car, she does not really believe I can. You know, every time, did you see that? You know, one day I said, I'm doing boats. You know, I used to do both, but I don't do it any longer. I said, I've been carrying people, and they don't complain the way. Why is that you? I said, me, I have to complain, no, because this guy is our car. If anything happened, now. So that day, we got to Rumola Bridge, and we're about to descend. Susan, listen, you know, we're about to descend. And I was coming down, and another car was, they said, watch that car. Watch. I said, I'm seeing the car. You know, I was so angry. Like, what you complain about little thing? That's how fight started, though, inside the vehicle. My daughter was at the back. She will talk, I will reply. She will talk, I will reply. I said today, I'm not going to keep quiet for you. She will talk, I will reply. She will talk, I will. We started. It was not pleasant at all. So to the point that when my daughter got to the junction, that our school is here. What's the name of that school? NDSS. So she came down, we were still arguing. So we now move forward a little bit. There is a man we used to pick along the road. So the man entered. So we didn't shout again. We're not shouting, but when I speak in Yoruba. So at this point now, our voice is low, but we are still fighting. So she will speak Yoruba, we answer her. She will speak Yoruba, we answer her. She will speak. If the man is actually sensitive, the man will know that. No, this atmosphere in this car. So I got to her office. So I dropped her. She just slammed the dog. Bah. She went down. So I stay, try to open my app to see if I will get customer. But my heart. So as I was there trying to, okay, what should I do? Should I move or should I just do this? We just said, ah, God, marriage is a call to die. The least thing I said, Susan, hear what the Spirit of God said. He said, if he's one of your clients that said exactly what your wife said, will you react the way you reacted? Huh? You know, when God asks you a question, it's not because he didn't answer. He's trying to help you check the state of your heart that you have left. He said, will you answer the way you reply your wife? She was the one that started the shouting. I was just replying her shout. See me that God is now rebuking. For replying someone that shouted at her husband. Imagine. So at that point, I know the answer, because even as a teenager, I carried. I say, yes, ma. Yes, sir. That's how I deal with my. I just make it as a point of policy. Even if I carry a teenager, I use yes, sir. Yes, ma, for them. I said, yes. I didn't even answer God. I knew what it was. I just speak my phone. I am very sorry for what happened. Please forgive me. And I actually mean it. And I hand it. So I had to go and pick her in the afternoon. So when she entered the car, we just started flowing. You know, my wife now, you see, I have to be still be petting and still be doing those kind. Okay, now at least I think I've told her I'm sorry. You know, she likes petting. But it's okay. You didn't hear that one. Okay, please don't hear it. So what happened? By the time we now got to my daughter's school and she now entered the car. I said, she was confused. That what is happening? You people are. Because she couldn't believe that kind of hot argument has ended. Friends, marriage is the call to die. If you don't learn to die, offenses have destroyed some people's marriage and they have cut it off. Offense. You know, when you are offended, consider God in that situation. But the problem is that it's pride. We are so full of ourselves. Do you know what she has done? Do you know what? How can he say those words to me? It's self. Who was telling us yesterday? Someone who is dead, does he know they are abusing the? Huh? A dead person, does the person know that they are abusing him or not? They don't know. And that's what I say in the morning. For me, I don't know how you can do it. Huh? That you don't talk to someone, you don't flow with someone, and you are praying. No, what kind of prayer? Who are you praying to? It's not to God. It can't be God. Because if you truly pray to God, if the prayer is worship to God, he will have told you, go and reconcile with your wife. He will have told you. He will have told you. He will have told you, go and reconcile with your husband. Go and reconcile with your boss. He will have told you. Because, listen, the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So what kind of prayer are you praying? What temerity do you have to preach the gospel when you have ought against somebody? Huh? Please, don't ever get to that point that you are not in agreement with someone, you are keeping money with somebody, and you have the boldness to continue life as nothing happened. The person is already dead. That's a dead state. That you can flow in prayer. You can flow. You know, activities continue as if nothing happened. I don't know about you. I don't want to get to that point. I don't want. God, please help me. Help me. And I'm serious. No, it's a dangerous place to be. You know, there are people that will get to this point. Give me 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. There are people that will get to this point. It is at this point they will realize that they have lost him. 1 John 2, 28. It says, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Friends, it will be a tragedy to appear before him on that day and we are ashamed to look at him. No, why was Adam ashamed when he had the voice? No, why was he afraid when he had the voice of God? He has left his place. Meeting Jesus is joy. I courted my wife for 7 years. You say, I'm always mentioning my... Is it you I will mention? Huh? Why would I not mention someone that I've lived for 21 years? My life is... I want to say I can't live without that. Don't let me exaggerate. It's only Jesus that I cannot live without. But the truth I want to make is this. When we were courting, you know, Paul said at this point, you can't compare the joy of marriage with courtship. Huh? There's so much in God when we come to this point. So much. As a matter of fact, the Bible says even the giving of the Holy Spirit is a foretaste of what is about to come. So Holy Spirit is not even everything that God wants to give us. The Bible says Holy Spirit is a guarantee that so much is still in stock for us. When you say something is a foretaste, it means that there is something else. So, the time of courtship is not a time to actually celebrate. So, you are living your life looking forward to meeting him. And you don't want to meet him on that day and you are ashamed. So, what do? You buckle up. If you offend, that will make me not to do it, you deal with it. Anything that will stop you meeting him on that day and you are bowing down your head in shame, you cut it off. Kini Jesus saw, see me. What did Jesus say? He said, if it's your hand that will make you to go to hell, he said, cut it off. Friends, do you know what it means to have eternity without Jesus? Huh? He said, it is better not to be born than to die without Jesus. It is better not to be born than to be in eternity without Jesus. So if that is the case, if you know that the gravity of what we are talking about, nothing should make you offended that you will not be able to forgive and let go. How could you want to trade the things of eternal value for offense that somebody did against you? How? Joseph was offended by his brethren. He asked every cause to punish them when he later saw them. But he forgave them. He forgave them. If, as a matter of fact, Joseph, you know, I thought I said something before, the way we handle offense, we close up. Just imagine if Joseph has closed up. Because it was interpreting dream that brought me to where I am today. in Potiphar's wife. God, I decided to follow you, that I will do your will. I will not allow sin. So I rejected sleeping with Potiphar's wife. So I was following your will, and that landed me in prison. He should have been offended. That why will obeying you land me inside prison? And that's okay. It's like, at this point now, let me just live my life. Huh? And the Bible says, one day the two servants of Pharaoh sinned against him. And he put them into the same prison where Joseph was. And the Bible said there was a day that they were sad. Friends, it was not those prisoners that told Joseph that they were sad. The Bible said Joseph saw it. Saw it. Friends, people who close up don't see when people are hurting around them. Because they already close up. They are not ready to help. Can you imagine what will have happened if Joseph has allowed offense in his heart and he didn't minister to those two prisoners? Think about it. Huh? Do you know that it was the interpretation of the dreams of these two people that got him eventually out of the prison? Huh? Let me ask you a question. If Joseph refused to minister to them, does it change that they already have their dream? Does it change the outcome of the dream? So who is destroying his own destiny? Joseph. So if he has refused to minister to them, he will have changed his own destiny. And that's what most of us is doing. Relationships that will have pushed us forward in destiny, we have cut them off because of offense. You don't give people chance, but you are having many chances. You cut off relationship because you are offended. And you are living with offense for so long. It's the scheme of the devil. It's the devil. It's a trap. He gives you every reason to keeping your distance. If you don't do that, you'll be hurt again. You'll be hurt again. You know, that was how you helped Sister Love, and you are hurt. Not your own love. Are you getting what I'm talking about? So how do we deal? You know, we are talking about three things we need to watch against, right? False teaching, association, and an offense. How do we deal with this thing? Ephesians chapter 6, as I close. Have you been blessed? Have you been touched? Is something happening to your heart? I want you to leave this place and go and meet whoever that has offended you and tell the person you are sorry. Reconcile with that person. The sound I'm hearing is like most of you are living in offense. Hello? Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 10. Ephesians 6 from verse 10. Hello? Just enough of that. Ephesians. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in what? The power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. That you might be able to what? To stand against the what? What the wiles? What does it mean? The wiles. The schemes. The craftiness. Friends, how do you stand against the wiles of the devil? Put on the whole armor of God. So it means, if I don't put on the whole armor of God, I can't stand against the wiles of the devil. You can't. You cannot do it. You can't. It's not possible. You must put on the whole armor of... I don't have time to begin to describe what it is. But to overcome the schemes of the devil, you must put on the whole armor of God. Verse 12. Why do you need to put on the whole armor of God? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. So it means that we wrestle. Now you need to understand that we are in a battle. You know, most of us, we behave as if you are not in battle. You need to understand that Christianity is a battlefield. It's a battle. It's a war. There is a war that is going on almost on a daily basis. The Bible says the flesh and the spirit go against each other. And that thing happens daily. 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 Friends, that's what Paul said, I die daily. Huh? So the war we are fighting, our enemy is not flesh and blood. Stop all those die by fire, die by fire. Killing your enemy. You are not acting as a disciple of Christ if you keep doing that. Jesus told us, pray for your enemy. Bless those who curse you. But we have a whole bunch where some people have built ministry around killing enemies. If somebody have killed you before you got born again, me that you are seeing here, I did a lot of damage when I was an unbeliever. A lot of damage. If they have prayed I should die, I won't be here today. Now, some of these things as a result of ought. Someone ought you. Huh? And the only thing is to see the person die. So, our enemy is not flesh and blood. It's not human being. That's what the Bible is telling us. Even our weapon is not, it's not carnal weapon. It's not a physical weapon. So he said, but against principalities and power, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places, therefore take up the whole armor. It means as a result of this enemy, take up the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand in the evil days, and having done all to stand. Can I have this verse, that verse 13 and 14 from, I love the way he put it, easy to read version. When I'm excited, I preach long. Anytime I'm excited, I preach long. I'm not Papa. I'm still a young guy trying to still end life. Don't fast forward my destiny. I'm still young. I didn't even listen to message at all. Listen to this. That's why you need to get that. Okay, let's verse 12. Verse 12. Our fight is not against people on earth. Can you see that? Huh? We are fighting against rulers and authority and the powers of this world's darkness. We are fighting against spiritual powers of evil in heavenly places. The next verse, please. That is why you need to get God's full armor. Then on the day of evil, you'll be able to stand strong. Oh, I love the next one. And when you have finished the whole fight, you will still be standing. Yeah. We will still be standing. Friends, we will not fight this fight. And at the end of the day, we are falling down. Ah, the mighty falling, David said. At the weapon of war perish. Ah, the mighty falling. He said, ah, the mighty falling. Ah. The weapon of war. He says Saul was slain as if he was not anointed. Saul was slain as if he was not anointed. Ah, the mighty falling. How are the mighty falling at the slightest of the schemes of the enemy? How are they falling? Tell me. It's an aberration that those who are mighty in Christ, that have Jesus in their life, fall on their face at the schemes of the enemy. So the Bible says, put on the whole armor of God. Friends, we are on a battlefield. We are not here to play. We are not here to play. It's war. It's war. And this war, the enemy comes in different shape and sizes. He comes to different, he uses different people to get at you. His goal is to distract you from your finish. You must keep that in your mind. That nothing would defy me when I appear here. So put on. Put on the whole armor of God. I started listing those armor. I don't have time. But if you check those armor, NTS, I don't know if you have checked those armor. Those armors are Huh? It talks about truth. It talks about breastplate of righteousness. These are conduct. These are holy conduct. It talks about hope of salvation. It talks about the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Are we still here? Put on the whole armor of God. My final word for you in RIC 2026 is this. Never give place to the enemy. Put on the whole armor of God. Don't let your guard down. Put on the whole armor of God. Fight. Fight. Because you have been given the grace to fight this war. We have already conquered. Jesus has gone ahead of us. We are enforcing the victory that he has already given us. So we are not permitted to be defeated. We are not. We are not equipped to be defeated. He gave us the Holy Ghost. His power. So we are not equipped. We are not allowed to allow the devil to defeat us. He's a lie of the devil. You know what I do? When I finish conferences like this or finish praying like this, I'm expecting the temptation. Because the Bible says, the day I saw that scripture, I'm always expecting, I'm prepared. The Bible says, temptation will arise based on the word you have heard. But most of all, when it comes, we have forgotten that you made a commitment not to be offended. The day you say, I'm not going to be offended again, I won't allow this into, that's when it will just rush like this. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. I feel a little silent, please. Please, I don't want all those. Please, silent. This is a moment. This is a moment of silence, please. I want you to bow down your heads and ask the Lord to deal with your heart. The psalmist says, search me, I know my heart. Try me, I know my thought, and see if there's any wicked way in me. And lead me to the way of everlasting. Pray that God will search your heart. Pray that God, Lord, the psalmist says, search my heart. Is there any areas of my life? Because at times some of us don't even know that what we have in our heart is actually offense. We try to explain it away. No, I'm not offended. Me, I've forgiven the person. You know. We say greet each other. That's not what I'm talking about. Is that offense? Lord, is that offense in me? Lord, is that offense in me? Lord, is that offense in me? Is that offense in me? Now, so many of us have been offended. You have been wounded. I just told you. Tempted to curse because of offense. Ask the Lord to heal your heart. Ask the Lord to heal your heart.
As Pastor said, it's a moment of quietness. It's a moment of sincerity. It's a moment where the Holy Spirit will be very intentional in pointing a hand on definite matters in your heart. And I feel it's a very heavy moment. I feel that the weight of conviction will come upon some of us. I feel that the Holy Spirit will place his hand specifically on matters. Offense has lingered in hearts. It has become hatred. It has become bitterness. Hebrews said, "We should be careful. We get defiled by the root of bitterness, defilement." As we pray, I like you to be sincere. Some persons might need to leave their seat and kneel where they are. And you are begging God, Lord, will you take away this root of bitterness in my heart? Lord, I feel I'm justified to be angry. I feel I'm justified to be offended. But what's the point of justification when bitterness is defiling me? I don't know if there's a brother here, if there's a sister here, and you need to pray that prayer. Will you want to kneel wherever you are? You are kneeling because I just don't want you to be moved. I want you to move. I want you to do something with what God is saying to us. Any brother here, any sister here, you want to bend and say, Lord, this is my heart. I know. I cannot deny that there's bitterness here. There's bitterness. There's bitterness against my uncle. I'd like to invite you, not to the front, no, wherever you are, you want to kneel, just want to stretch your hand to God and say, please, sir, I'm sorry, the way it's coming to me, step around me, Lord, I'm done for. If you don't send help, I will keep carrying this bitterness. What is discipleship if my heart is defiled? It's mirage. It's mirage. Please beg the Lord this afternoon. Beg the Lord. Beg the Lord. And it's possible you are the one who has caused offense. The Lord will lay a hand on it. You have tried to justify yourself and explain the way that, why is he angry? Why is she angry? What have I done? But maybe the Holy Spirit will help you see the reason why you need to leave this conference, or even from this conference, pick your phone and send a text message and look for an opportunity to reconcile and apologize. Lord, help us. 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 That will not be caught in the craftiness of the devil. Lord, you told us in this conference that usually the person behind offenses is the devil. We think it's that person that offended us. No, it was sponsored by the enemy because he wants to put a stumbling block. He wants to trap us. He wants to snare us. It's not a time to sleep. No. No. I met a man so full of grace. He came to me and gave me grace. He made my life so free from sin. Hallelujah. I met a man so full of grace. He came to me, and yes, Jesus has come to us in this conference. He came by his word. It can make your life free from sin. It can make your life free of offense. It can deliver you from the snare that wrong association has brought you into. Yes, some of you will need to end some relationships if you are serious about going forward as a disciple. Yes. Yes. Like I said, it's a moment of conviction. Pastor said we are not playing. Oh, that conviction will come upon hearts. The Lord will lay a finger on those relationships and he will say, separate yourself from this person. Clearly, clearly. I'm just begging God that we'll be sincere. We'll be sincere this evening. One more minute we are praying. But I like it to count. Make this moment count. Make this moment count for you, friends. Is there a relationship you need to put an end to? Beg the Lord. Say, Lord, I receive grace. And usually when we pray for grace, we don't pray for grace to end it here. We pray for grace for action. Yes, we must do something. One of the prayers I was praying yesterday as I listened to this meeting online is the fact that, Lord, in fact, I still said it this morning, we just don't want to be moved. Ah, I was touched. No, we want to move. We want to do something. Take a step in the direction of what the Lord is saying to us. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. And if you feel the weight of conviction on your heart, we don't want to make light of it. All heads bowed, all eyes closed. Maybe save for ministers and team members who might want to take record of anything. But if you feel you want to take a very concrete step towards these matters that God is raising, it won't be out of place to ask you to please rise wherever you are in response to the Lord. Like I said, I just don't want you to, it should not be an emotional thing. Don't just say, I'm moved, I'm touched. No, no. Move in the direction of what God is saying and doing. You are here and there's offense in your heart. You are here and there's bitterness festering in your heart. And God is pointing a hand on it. And you want to say, Lord, me you are talking about. Can I invite you to please rise? And you are also here. You have been in wrong associations and relationships. You know it. And the Lord is also laying a finger on it. Can you also rise? I'd like us to pray together. Lord, behold us this evening. We come in sincerity. I mean, who do we want to form for? I mean, you know us. You know us. I can hide. I can pretend with men. But Lord, you know. Lord, you know. Lord, you know. Lord, you know. So, Lord, I want to present my heart for circumcision. Yes, that's the word. Are there those who are presenting themselves for circumcision today? Please rise. Yes. You're willing to go through the bleeding. You're saying, Lord, I'm opening my heart to you. Be at liberty to bring your knife to circumcise. Cut away, root out this bitterness. Deal with it for me, Lord. I am presenting it. So, all I'm asking you to stand is not because I want to see you. Don't worry. Even my own eyes are closed. So, I'm not doing this because I want to see you. I'm very inconsequential in this equation. Trust me. But that brother, that sister wants to bring their heart to the Lord and say, Lord, root out this bitterness. Or somebody wants to say, Lord, this relationship, in fact, I feel God say that there is someone you have tried ending that relationship. You've tried more than once. But you go back again. But there is grace tonight or this afternoon. There is grace. This is very specific. You have tried more than once. Because this is not the first time God is saying, come out of that relationship. You stepped out. You went back again. You stepped out. You are almost saying, I don't think there's any point. But if you're here, we're praying. Dear Lord, we have not come with multitude of words. We have just come with sincerity of heart. Behold us, Lord, your sons and your daughters who have come to a point of conviction by reason of your word. And we are saying we don't want to shake it off. We don't want to make light of it. For everyone whose heart has been convicted, and for everyone who has responded in obedience in standing up to identify that you are the one they are the ones you are talking about. O God of all grace, O God of all grace, in our heart, your work begin and your work complete. For those whose hearts are filled with hatred, offense, bitterness, reasons to be angry, and the enemy has sponsored it, the enemy has watered that root and is growing. Lord, as hearts are presented, Lord, root out. Remove this root of bitterness. Cleanse us from the defilement that has lingered. And Lord, we receive grace to mend relationships. We receive grace to apologize where we need to. We receive grace to let go and forgive. That offenses will not cause us to come before you at your appearance and be ashamed. And for the brother or sister or sisters or brothers who are trusting you for grace over breaking free from wrong association. Lord, hear their heart. Supply grace. And Lord, sever them from this relationship. A clear cut in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord, we want to thank you for your servant. We don't take for granted that you have chosen to reach us through him. Lord, we want to ask you, Lord, keep him faithful. Keep him fruitful in the name of Jesus. Uphold him, Lord. And not just him, everyone who has ministered in this conference, our dear father, Pastor Simon Afolabi, and Uncle Mark, Lord, we ask that you will water them in the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father. We pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.